this week as I was studying over this. This is a passage that I've loved for so long, but I didn't get to that part of it. That's the end of this of chapter 24. We'll be in Acts chapter 24, if you want to turn there. But the reason I feel like that I need this passage is maybe the same reason that some of you might need it, or all of us probably need it, is I can remember years ago, and I don't know who it was, but I can remember somebody telling me, and it's in a song, and I've heard it there too, but it's, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. You've heard that comment, you've heard that in a song, some wise person has told you that at some point. And as we begin to look into this passage this morning, I begin to think about why do Christians not take a stand? And you might be saying in your head, well, we do take a stand. But do we take a bold stance in our life, in our everyday life? Do we take a bold stand to speak up for Christ? And I think sometimes, I know I can look back at my past and not maybe sometimes not even a distant past, and wonder, why did I not stand up at that point? Why did I not speak up at that point and stand for my God and my faith? And I think sometimes it's because we don't like confrontation. Most of us don't like confrontation, and so we don't want to have someone think that if I come up to you and begin to share my faith with you, it's going to lead to a confrontation. Because you may not believe what I believe. And so we steer away from speaking up because we don't want confrontation. The next thing that might be is because, well, what if they ask a question and I don't know the answer? So I don't stand up, I don't speak up because I may not know every answer. Well, this morning as we look at this passage, I want us to look at what Paul does. And I know immediately when I thought of this, I thought, I am in no way Paul. You know, we can think about Paul and how he was so strong and so outspoken and always seemed like always had the words to say. Wasn't always the case, but it seems like it, that he would be doing and saying the right things and taking a stance against people to the point of being stoned or beaten or whatever. But I know that you and I would say, well, we're not Paul, so where do we go? How do we get to even a point of being better at taking a stance than we do? And I think maybe the best way is to look at what Paul did and see what God has for us. So we're going to read. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 24 of Acts. So if you would read along with me. It says, now after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you here, by your courtesy, a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I jumped here. I was trying to get to a different passage in my head. So let me go back to verse 10. It says, then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I came up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogue or in the city, nor can they prove the things which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I find myself always to strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and man. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me, purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me, or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me. I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." Let's pray. Father God, I just pray you overcome my shortcomings. Lord, I pray your word would be taken today and understood, that you would show us what it is you have for us out of this passage. Lord, that you'd change our hearts and our lives, that we'd be able to stand for you, to bring glory to you, to honor you the way you desire. Lord, take this time. Move among us, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. As I said, as I begin to read that, it's a lot more verses than I normally read, and so I kind of stumbled through it, but I think you got the gist of it if you read along. But as we look at this, I want to look at what is taking place. They had brought Paul before the governor. They were going to accuse him, and they were going to legally accuse him of three things. They were going to legally accuse him of sedition, which was causing riots. Rome was so strict about the fact that if there was any kind of an uprising of any kind, then Rome really cracked down on it. And so they were accusing him of causing riots. And then they were also legally accusing him of what they would call sectarianism. In other words, he was leading a sect or a group of people that was not legally approved or was not legally acknowledged. The Jewish followers, they had their religion, but this sect that followed this Messiah that they were taught, that he was talking about, that was not a legal sect at that time. So they were accusing him of leading this sect, this group of messianic people that believed in the Messiah being here, and he was going against their laws. And then they also accused him of sacrilege, where he was profaning the temple. He had actually allowed a Gentile to come into the temple. So the three things that they were legally accusing him of, he really wasn't doing. But they were also accusing him of some things. They weren't the legal excuses, but if you look over in verse 5, they said, "We found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of this sect." And that's really what they wanted to get down to. And so when they come to accuse Paul, they accuse him of three things that I think if Paul wanted to, he could stand here and say, "I'm glad that they accused me of those things." And I wonder if you and I could be accused of any of these three. Because where it talks about a plague or a pestilent fellow, a pest to the Jews, he was a troublemaker to their way of life because of his faith. Can anybody accuse you of being a pest because of your faith? Do you get in there and do you cause trouble in the fact that the way they want to live, the morals they have, they are just going to get so frustrated with you, you are going to be like this pest that is always irritating them about the way they live? That's what Paul was doing. He was sharing his faith. And it was making them feel uncomfortable. They were calling him a pest, a troublemaker, a plague that would upset things. He was dangerous to their way of life. That's what they were accusing him of. Has your faith ever caused you to be accused of that? Do you take such a stand in your faith? Do I take such a stand in my faith that people say, man, every time he says something, he's always going about against what I'm doing, against what I'm saying. He's talking about Jesus, and Jesus is, it's just uncomfortable. It just makes me uncomfortable because of my lifestyle. What he's doing, what she's saying, makes me uncomfortable about my lifestyle. Are you a pest to the lost world? Most of us would say, no, we're not. Because that would be a negative thing, right? He wasn't doing anything wrong. He was preaching Jesus. He was telling people about faith in Christ. And they found it as being offensive. The cross, like you'll hear all the time, is offensive to the lost. It's offensive to the world because they don't like it because it says they have to change. It says their way of living is wrong. He was a pest, was really what they were saying. Second part of that verse, he says that he was a creator of dissension among the Jews. Now, the Jews believed that you had to follow the law. By following the law, that's the only way you could be righteous before God, is what the Jews believed. Well, when Jesus came, and what Paul is preaching and what we believe is that faith comes by believing in Jesus. Faith in Jesus brings righteousness. There is no other way to be righteous other than faith in Jesus. Not following the law. Follow the law all day long, it's not going to get you any closer to God. You'd be a good person. There's people out there today that follow the law. They're good people. But without faith in Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness. And that's what Paul is saying. So all these Jews, what they've been told all their life is if you follow not just the Ten Commandments, but the other laws that their forefathers had brought out, if you will follow those laws, you will be right with God. And now he's bringing in this message. It says if you will have faith in Jesus, God will credit you righteousness the same way he did Father Abraham. And when that happens, you will have righteousness before God. And so some of these Jews are beginning to listen to that and believe it. And some of the Jews weren't. So he's causing dissension between the Jews. Do you ever share your faith enough that it's going to cause dissension between those groups that are out there, to where some of them might start thinking, you know what they're talking about, it makes some sense. The fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, I've heard it all my life. Maybe there's something to it. And they begin to meet together. Maybe it's a family, maybe it's a group. But for some reason, what you shared is causing dissension in a group of people that don't believe in Jesus. And I'm asking you to be a pest, and I'm asking you to cause dissension among people. That's really not what you want or what you normally would think a preacher would say. But that's what they're accusing Paul of, and that's where we're supposed to be. I'm supposed to share my faith in such a way that if there's two people out there that don't believe in Jesus, if one of them says, hey, you know, what he's saying is right, and no, he's not, it at least gives them something to think about. Versus me stepping back and letting them go ahead and believe what they want to believe. We need to make sure that we are causing dissension among the unbelievers, those that do not believe in Jesus Christ. And then the last part of that verse, he says that he's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Basically, they had what they called the way before they were called Christians. The way that believed in Jesus. The people that thought Jesus was the way to heaven. And he's the ringleader. I'm, Pastor, you asking me to be a pest and then a person that causes dissension, and now you're calling me to be a ringleader? A ringleader was what? Somebody that was outspoken. Somebody that was willing to take a stand in front of everybody. somebody that was willing to lead other people. Yes, that's what I'm asking you to be. That's what the Bible is asking you to be. To be outspoken for your faith. Not just know what you believe. I've had people all my life say, if you'll just know what you believe, that's enough. That's enough for me, but it's not enough for that person out there that needs to know Jesus. And so, I'm supposed to be outspoken. You're supposed to be outspoken. We believe it in such a way that we want everybody else out there to know that there is no other way into heaven but through Jesus. I can know that, but I need to be outspoken about it. I need to be willing to be a leader. When nobody else will step up on that basketball team or that football team or that softball team or that office, somebody needs to be outspoken about Jesus. Paul was, but that's Paul, that's not us. But it should be us. Paul got in trouble all the time because he spoke about Jesus. How long has it been since I've gotten in trouble for speaking about Jesus? Am I a pest? Do I cause dissension among unbelievers? Frustration. I remember one time years ago, I was substitute teaching and I had this young lady come up to me and she said, Mr. Ewing, you hate me, don't you? I was like, why would you think I hate you? She said, because the people at my church told me that you hated me. I said, I don't even know your last name. Why would I hate you? I said, because you're a Christian. And you hate us. That's what she was told. And so, it was at some point, I had become a pest. Or maybe it was just because I was a Christian and they knew it, that I was a pest. That's what we're supposed to be. We were causing division because we were having a prayer group every morning before school and it was not going over well. It was one of those things that it was causing division among people because kids would go home and talk about how their friends loved Jesus, and that's not the same Jesus that we talk about. And so it was causing dissension. We had kids that were ringleaders. They would stand up and speak no matter what. And when a teacher gave them an opportunity to write a paper, they wrote a paper about Jesus because they wanted everybody to know about their Jesus. That I saw in teenagers. Do we see it in adults? Do we see it in us? Paul is brought before Felix, this governor. He's accused of these things. He makes his defense. Says, I'm not guilty of those things, of those first three things. The sedition, the sectarianism, and the sacrilege. But those other things? Yeah, let me confess something to you. And I love when he starts to confess things in verse 14. He says, but this I confess to you, according to the way that they call a sect. That sect was that something that had not been official. It wasn't approved by the government. It was a belief that was different. Paul said, yeah, but this is what I do. Paul had ruffled feathers enough that they had accused him of this. And so he confesses before Felix, I worship the God of my fathers. Can you confess that? Now we come in here and we have a praise and worship time. So yeah, we worship God. I don't believe it's talking about in the synagogue or in the home church. I think it's talking about in your life. Does your life worship God? That's what it's talking about. Paul is saying, I want you first of all to know, I confess, I worship God. Get this out there. I want you to know that I'm going to worship God. If he was proved guilty of any of those three legal charges, he could be put to death. But he didn't care. He said, I want you to know that these things, if I'm accused of these, it's because of four things. And Paul's going to take a stance here before Felix. He's been accused by these people that didn't like the way he was living, didn't like what he was saying. You're going to be accused of things that people don't like. You're going to have judges out there and accusers, and they're going to give you false accusations. They're going to call you a hater. You're a hater because you don't put up with my lifestyle. I just know what the Bible says. I have nothing against you, but that lifestyle or that choice or that sin that you're committing, God tells me to judge that sin. I'm not judging you, but I'm going to judge that sin because the Bible calls it sin. And when you and I stand up for sin being sin, we're going to be called haters. We're going to be called intolerant. We're going to be called all these things because we take a stance on the Bible. And that's what happened to Paul. And he says, okay, fine. If that's what you want to call me, this is four things you will know. And this is four things you and I have to stand on. The first one is that he worshiped God. He wanted everybody to know. He says, I worship the God of my fathers. And you could probably in our mind say, okay, what does that include? That includes living for Him, following Him, ministering for Him, worshiping Him, praising Him. Worshiping God is giving my life to Him that He might be glorified. Are you giving your life that God would be glorified? Are you worshiping God through your life? He goes on to say, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that were written in the law and the prophets. Paul was telling, I believe everything that was written in the law and the prophets. The problem is, you guys don't believe it because the law and the prophets said that a Messiah was coming. I believe He's coming. I believe He's already here. That's what Paul was saying. That was what was causing the problems. But he says, the second thing is, I believe in all that is written in the law and the prophets. I talk to people all the time and say, do you believe what the Bible says? I say, well, yeah, I believe what the Bible says. When's the last time you opened it up to read it on your own? And like Lucas said, to memorize it, to apply it to your life. I believe the Bible, at least the parts that people have told me. Well, you heard me read this morning. I skipped two or three verses there because I messed up. I was thinking ahead. I'm going to mess up. Don't go by what I say. Don't go by what somebody else says. Go to God and read it in His Word. Because that's what we're called to do. If Paul says, I'm going to believe the law and the prophets, you know what? He probably studied the law and the prophets. Because how else is he going to know if he believes them? How else is he going to know that he agrees with, he lines up with God's Word if he doesn't ever read and study God's Word? The reason people are so confused today and so jumpy over what is the rapture happening today, is the second coming coming in 7 years, and when's it coming, and what's it about? Read God's Word. It's scary out there, but it doesn't have to be. Read the end of the book. We win. What we got to understand is people just hear bits and pieces from this person and that person. Go to the Word. Understand that if you're going to say you believe God's Word, then you need to read God's Word. That's what Paul said. He said, I confess, I believe in God. I worship God. I believe His Word. Verse 15 says, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, the just and the unjust. Paul says, I believe in God. I have faith in God, knowing that God is coming back, that there's going to be a resurrection. There was a group of people that were called Sadducees, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're Sadducee. That way you can remember that. But it's that understanding. They had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the Sadducees didn't even believe a resurrection was going to happen. But he says, I believe, I worship God, I believe His Word, and I have hope that He's coming back for me. If you have that hope, no matter when it takes place, no matter how it takes place, I know that my Redeemer lives and He's coming back for me. And because of that, I can stand in front of anybody. And I can speak in front of anybody. And you can too. But we don't, because we lose sight of these things. We lose sight of the fact that we do have that hope, that we do have His Word, that we spend time worshiping the Creator of the universe as He desires. And where it comes is this last one, the fourth one. This being so, I myself strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and man. He's saying, I strive to live with a clear conscience before God and man. Paul is saying, it's all about God, but God wants me to live and live the way He wants me to, so that I stand with a clear conscience before God. That's what we have to do. Now, there's a verse in Galatians that says, am I trying to please God or please men? If I'm still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. Well, here, it's not a challenge of Scriptures. It's not one right, one wrong. Because here he's saying that he's trying to live with a clear conscience before God and man. And in Galatians, he's saying, am I trying to please God or man? That's two different things. We're not supposed to please man. We're supposed to live to please God. But we're supposed to, when we live to please God, our desire is to live before Him with a clear conscience. To live in a way that we follow His Word, allowing His Holy Spirit to fill us, to lead us and guide us in a way that He wants us to go. And when we do that, I can live with a clear conscience before man. If I live with a clear conscience before God, I'll have a clear conscience before men, because my focus will be on God. If I try to live with a clear conscience before men, that doesn't necessarily mean I'll have a clear conscience before God. Don't get those out of order. So as Paul is being falsely accused of some things, correctly accused of others, he stands on these four principles. I want to ask you today, if you were going to be put on trial, could they find anything to accuse you of? These three things. Are you a pest? Do you cause dissension because of your faith? Are you outspoken, a leader? Are you those things? We look at Paul and we know Paul was in a different time than us. We know that Paul had a power given to him by God, but we also know that Paul didn't have the whole Scripture at this time. Paul didn't, he didn't have some of the blessings that we have. Are we willing to take a stand? Are we willing to take a stand for what we believe? If we are, we've got to have those other four things. So Christians, today I want to ask you, if you're going to live by these principles, then God will be glorified in your life. When you worship Him, when you believe His Word, when you have that hope and expectation of His resurrection, and when you strive to live before Him, you will glorify Him. And when it comes down to it, that's our purpose, to honor and glorify our Creator. If you're standing out there and these things seem really foreign to you, I want you to understand that Paul would worship God because he knew what God had done for him. God had brought him through everything, but he knew more than anything Jesus had died for him. So I want you to understand that the same Jesus that died for Paul died for you. I want you to understand that to accept that is the beginning of worship of God. We need to look at the understanding that where we're at, if I'm going to believe the Scripture, I've got to believe it all. And the Bible says unless we repent, we will perish. If we're going to try to live in our sin without turning it over to Jesus, then we'll perish. So we have to believe in Him. We have to turn our sins over to Him. We have to ask Him to come into our life. If you're sitting out here today and that's never happened, don't go out of this place without understanding that you are going to be held before a judge at one day. Now, it's not going to be Felix. It's not going to be anybody like Felix. It's going to be the God of the universe. And at that time, you're not going to be able to say, well, I want to worship You. I wanted to believe Your word. I wanted to believe that You were coming back. I wanted to live with a clear conscience. Before you know, at that time, it will be too late. For us as Christians, we will stand before a judge, the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't think it'll be that way, but in my mind, I want to make myself say, would He say, Steve, did you worship Me? Did you believe My word? Did you live with anticipation? Did you live with a clear conscience before Me? Because we'll be judged with what God gives us and what we do with what God gives us. Are we going to be a good steward of the things that He's given us? So as a Christian, where are we at? How do we stand? Before people? And before God. It's there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just lift up each of our lives to You, Lord, as all I can do is lift up mine. Lord, I pray that You help me to be what You desire me to be, to live for You. But Lord, I pray for each person in this sanctuary, each person that might be watching online. Lord, that they would see where they stand before You, see how they stand for You. Lord, we cannot do it without You. We know that. We need You, Lord Jesus. Move in this place. Speak to our hearts. God, convict us where we need it. Draw us to where You want us. Encourage us to be instruments that will glorify and honor You. Lord Jesus, move in Your way. In Your name we pray. Amen.